So the name of the portion, the name of this section, is called chukat. Now the word chukat comes from the word in Hebrew, chok. Chok means law, meaning you don't ask any question when it's the law. Now, especially in our time right now, people don't like to hear, this is the law, this is the order. People like to hear, hey, do whatever you want, it's freedom. You're allowed to do whatever you want. You know, and we need, I define freedom for about 20,000 times, but it's always good to define it again. Freedom is not when you do whatever you want. Freedom is when you control whatever you want. That's a true freedom. If you do exactly whatever you want, you're not free, you're in prison. You're in prison. So a lot of people going against some of the law, whatever it is in America or England or Israel or all over the world, the point is why? Why are you fighting? What exactly the reason of that fight? And of course, it's to bring, I mean, I believe it will bring only good things eventually, but from the person who fight, what does it bring to you spiritually, not physically? Because I believe for every good thing that start, you have to start sometimes rough, and then it become good. Unfortunately, this is how the physical universe operates. And because we live in a physical universe, the Kabbalists call this universe A-S-I-A, Asiya. Asiya means the world of action, the universe where all the action takes place. For that reason, in this world, everything is an illusion. As much as we believe is reality, it is an illusion. Now, what's the difference between illusion and reality? Reality never disappear, illusion disappear. That's only different. Only different. So whatever exists in this universe today that seems important tomorrow will be not important. And whatever it is not important today will be important tomorrow. So for each thing that we are get attached to might be nothing tomorrow. And for everything that we can stand might be the most important thing tomorrow. That's illusion. Because everything is based on five senses. The way I look at you, the way you sound, the way you smell, everything five senses. Five senses is the five soldier, or five filters of information in this physical universe to bring your information to your brain. Your brain is calculating all the information and turn it into something called reality. This is a very important tools that we have in the physical universe that we needed to survive. But it's only for surviving reason. Once you want to do more than that, you have to raise above the five senses. And to rise above the five senses, take two things. First is to connect to the spirituality. But second, or I should say maybe that is first, disconnect from physicality. Disconnect from physicality and connect to spirituality, which is difficult, very difficult, because you have food, you have shower, you have bathroom, you have all those things that you have to do for the body. Clothing, what type of clothes, what type of shirt, how do I look, lose weight, gain weight, tall, short, all physicality. So when it says Zot Chukat HaTorah, when the portion start with, this is the law, meaning you cannot ask any question. We have about 613 precepts, what they call mitzvot, that some of them make sense, because it's telling you if you are taking care of the land and you leave the land in Israel after the seventh year, you know, or the Jubilee, the land will give more fruit and more vegetables. So it's a cool thing. God is telling you, do that, I give you this. When it's come to this specific portion, it's the only thing, one of the only things, that's a chukah. Chukah meaning this is the law. Don't ask any question. I'm telling you to do that, and that's it. What is God telling us here? We need to investigate, because it seemed like one of the only sections in the Torah that give us like, make us confused. And we are talking about something called the red heifer or the red cow. You know, basically, it used to be, and it still is, the concept of red heifer. What is a red heifer? You are finding a cow which is totally red. The eyes are red, the skin is red, everything is red. Everything is red. And that cow, that red heifer, will be not allowed to carry anything on the no yoke on the shoulders. And you take that cow, And basically, you not use it for sacrifice. You burn the entire cow. You take the ashes of that cow, mix it with the holy water. And because you mix it with the holy water together, what end up happening, you got a formula that can purify any problem that exists in the world. Any problem. How many times that cow was used? 9 times since creation. I'm sorry, 9. 9 times since creation. When is the last one will be? When the Messiah will come. When the Messiah will come, that will be the 10th one. So basically, those of you who know Kabbalah, we did it 10 times, and we're missing one time. The Malchut, Malchut means kingdom, related to the kingdom of the Messiah. So until we don't have red heifer, until we don't have red heifer, people not consider pure. Because we all, what we call in the Talmud, be'emetim, meaning we, all of us, are suffer from expose ourselves to death. You know, cemetery, hospital, there is death there. And when you expose yourself to the dead body, you're no longer pure. And if you're no longer pure, you cannot remove that impurity for the rest of your life or until the Messiah will come and the red heifer will come with the Messiah. So this is what the portion is talking about. Now, what is the meaning of it that we don't need to know? After all, Rabbi Isaac Luria explained the meaning of it. He didn't leave it for chukah. He didn't leave it as a law. He tell you actually the meditation that you need to do when you are preparing the red heifer to purify people. So why do we call it the law? Another question, the person purified, the person was impure, the pure become impure, and the impure become pure. What is going on here? Why is it like that? And the idea, if we are listening to what Rabbi Isaac Luria said, Rabbi Isaac Luria said that if you take the word para, which is peresh a, peresh, resh will be 200, and pay will be 80, okay? Which is the amount of 5 final letters, which is the mem, the nun, the tzaddik, the pei, and the kaf. What we call, the kaf is called mantzapach. And if you take the hey in the end, a is aleph, bet, gimel, dalet, a is 5 as well. So from here we learn 5 final letters add to 280, which is par, which is para. Rabbi Isaac Luria is telling us that the concept of all the red heifer was to bring back the 5 final letters in Hebrew that we lost during the receiving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, when we built the golden calf. Now ask yourself, why golden calf? Very good. Similar to the red heifer. So because we lost that, that's the way you get it back. So that's the meditation. So why we call it Zot Chukah? Why do we call it, that's the law, don't ask questions, just do it. Very good question. And the idea, if we think about it, who are we in this universe? I had a wonderful phone call today from London, very good friend of mine. It was also a good time to catch up. So how is everything in London? Said the streets are empty, there's nobody out there. So wow, we thought it's only in LA and Rodeo Drive. It's in London too? So, and we start talking about a lot of great things. And who are humanity? Who are we? I know that all of us don't like to feel like slave or like people tell us what to do. According to Kabbalah, it's not like that. Being spiritual is to remember that you carry a yoke on your neck. Just the only choice you have is who did you sign with to be your master? Is your master the divine, God? Is the master your ego? Is the master is your boss? Is the master is your fear? Who is your master? When you understand that question, and I can answer it for all of you, it's up to you. Then you will be able to become spiritual. If you become spiritual without having a master that carried the yoke on your neck, and for that reason there is something called spiritual teacher, spiritual guru, mentor, teacher, whatever you want to call it, you know. It's a secret that your teacher has to be a secret representing what the Creator meant for you. And that's why to be a teacher is a huge responsibility. I'm not talking about teacher who teach spirituality. I'm talking about teacher as somebody who's responsible for everything that's going to happen to you. So once you sign with the teacher, once you say, let's say, people sign with me and say, Eliyahu, I need you to be my master. I need you to be my teacher. Then when I work with that person, it's a very serious job for me. For them too, of course. But I have to guide them to connect to the my master, which is the divine. That's the goal. If they connect to me more than they connect to my master, which is the divine, then I fail. And that's very dangerous for me. For that reason, not everybody knows how to be a student, and not everybody knows how to be a teacher. There's many people who claim that they are a teacher, which is wonderful. And to be a true teacher, you have to be first a true student. I serve master in my life from every corner of this universe, you know, for at least 28 years. And I serve it with honor, and I serve it with love. And I enjoy doing that. The point is that it didn't feel like I'm a servant or like a slave, as people from outside sometimes will see it like that. So if you look at Elisha, who followed Elisha the prophet, he served Elisha the prophet with the idea that he can receive all the information and the secret of his teacher. So when we're going back to the red heifer, that yoke that we carry on our shoulders, that's defining if you're spiritual or not. If you feel you can do whatever you want, and that's what exactly happening in this universe, in the universe right now. And I'm not blaming the protest, and I'm not blaming the people who break the window to the store. You know, if they do whatever they want, that means their authority do whatever they want. Everybody do whatever they want. When everybody do whatever they want, we have a problem. Because their master is not the divine. Their master is their ego. It's no longer controlled by the divine. You are taking the yoke of the divine out, and you carry the divine, the yoke of your individual ego. And for that reason, there is a fight, there is a war, disagreement. But if you go back and say, what would the divine want in this situation? Maybe you will change. Maybe you will think different. Before you hurt your friend, before you break into a store, before you go on a protest against or for, you will think, will the divine want me to do such a thing? I can't hate a human being, because the human being are a creation of the divine. I can't. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to even hate the sinner. I'm not even allowed the person who took advantage of me. I'm not allowed, because I didn't create them. The divine created all of it. If the divine created all of it, how can I hate anything? I can say it's caused me pain. I can say it caused me discomfort, but I can't say that I hate it. It's not my right to be able to hate the thing. That's what the red heifer is about. For that reason, when you come to check the cow, you check that there is two hair growing from the neck, will have to be standing. The Talmud asks, why it have to be standing? Is to show you that it was never have been a yoke on that cow neck. That cow's neck. And the two eyes are similar. Usually cow that have a yoke on the neck, I give you a secret now, the eyes change. One eye is small, one eye is big. So this cow will be perfect to show you there is no yoke. But why? Why do we need those signs I'm not here to tell you the whole side of the cow because it's not important. But why do we need that? It's to tell you, to show you that that cow, the red heifer, knew the job. The cow knew the job. It's not enough to be a red heifer. You have to make sure that nothing ever have been carried by that cow. And the cow understood, there is only one yoke I'm carrying. The wish of the Creator. Ask yourself right now, are you capable to live 1 year like that? 1 year like that. I mean, if you ever follow Hinduism or Zen, you know, or you follow deep Kabbalah, like I did, I'm still. Then you follow a master. You have a master and you follow that. No question asked. But in our days, the people are afraid. If you go to a guru in India, you follow. No question asked. You know, like this movie, Karate Kids, when go this way or go that way. No question asked. Once you start asking some question, you have doubts. Once you have doubts, you carry a different person yoke. So the carry of the yoke of your ego is nothing to do with it's forbidden not to listen to your teacher. That's not the point. The point, if you don't listen, then who do you listen? Choose a teacher. Anything. So when people come and tell me, hey, Eliyahu, you know, I have 4 teachers in my life. You are one of them. And I'm so proud to know you. And so if they open with me, I said, you have no hope for you. There's no chance for you. Why? Because you can't put too many yokes on the cow. You can't. Everybody will pull you to different direction. Then the next will split from the body. It will explode. It's not that the teacher you choose is the best. It's just that's what you choose. That's it. I choose that and I'm going with that. And after that, it will catch up to see if it's good or bad. Take Rabbi Meir Balanes. Rabbi Meir Balanes, we've been in his grave. His teacher went away from the path of spirituality. Everybody know that. We don't even call him by the name. We call him Acher, the other. You see your teacher, get off the there, get off the path. What do you do? So Rabbi Meir being great, he continue with his path. He continued with his path. He found another teacher just to make sure that he's not falling apart, Rabbi Akiva. He found Rabbi Akiva. And together with that, he tried, with the power he got from Rabbi Akiva, he tried to save his old teacher. That's beautiful. So you can't have 1,000 teachers. You know, if you are in a low level, and if you consider you are in a high level, then I don't know what kind of yoke you carry. But in our generation, it's way better to stick to one thing, to stick to one teaching. You know, those of you who follow Vital, I think we have many hours of lecture you can understand, and many hours for lecture you cannot figure out for the next 25 years. Go to Tikkun HaZohar, Ten Lumens of a Nation, you will spend 25 years there to understand it. So you have enough. You have enough. Just carry the yoke. Now, the question is, did Moses knew the meditation of the red heifer? Of course, tell us the Ora Chaim, one of the commentary. But I found something from a Kabbalist from Iraq, which tremendous understanding. The Kabbalist from Iraq named the Ben Ish Chai, which those of you who joined me to Israel last year, I took you there. It's very important for me to start introduce people to the grave of those people, you know. And hopefully next year, 2021 in March, we're going to take a group of people to Israel. Make sure that you register earlier because it will be a small group, so not everybody will be able to go. But we're planning on take people in March, just before Passover, to Israel to make sure they get the energy that we all need after what we went through. And hopefully by March, we're going to be healthy and fine and everything going to be going back to a better lifestyle. So what he write about red heifer, he say if you take the letters of the red heifer, which is Pei, Resh, and Eyud, which is Milui, it's numerically value of the word Torah. And from here we learn that the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, which basically the red heifer changed negativity into positivity. But what the Ben Ish Chai write was also the Torah. When you study spirituality through the Torah, through the original 5 books of Moses, to the original five books was it. And of course, you have to know the meaning. Don't just read it and don't understand it. You have to go and get the meaning. Then the Torah itself transform negativity in your life to positivity. As the Talmud write, you know, Zdonot ne'esu lo zachuyot. All your negative crime you ever did, negativity you ever did, turn into positivity. Can you imagine that there is a tool like that? We call it Torah. So that's what the Ben Ish Chai explained, the connection between the red heifer and the Torah. And maybe, just maybe, and that's tough to digest this concept, maybe that red heifer, which is a physical thing, exists only in the physical world. It's an illusion. Meaning, it's not about the physical structure. It's not about the red cow. It's not about the physical thing that we're all doing. There is something going on which we can connect to a level which is beyond the five senses, beyond the concept of place or time, and then we can connect to it. But to get to it, you gotta have the yoke on your neck. You gotta have the yoke. Once you have the doubts, doubt is like cancer in the mind. Doubt is like scorpion living in your bloodstream. Doubt is like snake biting you. That's what doubts look like. And doubts about whoever is teaching you will not get you to a good place. Not because whoever is teaching you is perfect. Nobody is ever going to be perfect. Nobody is perfect human being. But once you doubt the teaching of your teacher, or you doubt the teacher who teach you that teaching will not bring enough value to your consciousness. It will be a way for you to escape. I remember many years ago, when I needed to lose about 65 pounds, I had a problem with that, because every doctor who talked to me about it was fat. They all were fat. I met only fat doctor in my life. And at one point, I opened my mouth. I was very polite. And I said to that doctor, why you talk to me about diet and give me all kind of pills and all kind of nutrition and omega-3? I mean, look at you, man. And it was not nice of me to speak like that. It's a chutzpah, it's audacity. And I realized I doubt the teaching of how to lose weight. I doubted the doctor. And I get stuck not losing weight 3 years after that. Until I was unhealthy, end up in emergency room. I thought I have so many problems. And wonderful professor from Israel who happened to be there in the hospital looked at me and said to me, you have no problem with the body, you just need to lose weight. And I look at him and said, that's it? Say, yes, that's it, and start tomorrow. So what do? I said, just walk, do something with your body. So okay, I'm so okay. And he got me to get going. Now he was very tough on me. He was not even nice to me, but that's what I needed. Can I tell you that that professor or doctor was a nice guy? No! When I tell you he's the best doctor? No! It doesn't matter. I took his yoke and I put it on my neck. I choose him. And that saved my life. Stop looking into the teacher. He's tall. She's beautiful. What a great spiritual teacher. Last night I saw their wings and they fly. They fly to the sky and they came back. I'm ready to put that yoke on my neck. Really? What an ego trip. What is that? It's nothing to do with that. You gotta take the knowledge, the information, the teacher, and say, okay. And then because you get some information from that teacher, you have to respect that teacher. Not because the teacher needs the respect. When you look at the laws of teacher, there's all kind of laws how to deal with teacher. You know, when you walk into the room, you stand up. When you do this, there is all kind of laws. The teacher doesn't need it, but the student needs it, because once the student loses respect to wherever the teaching is coming from, then the teaching doesn't have a value. For that reason, Joshua respect Moses, Elisha respect Eliyahu, Elisha the prophet, all this time. Okay? Rish Lakish respect Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai respect Hillel and Shammai. You know, so you gotta look at how it works. It's the yoke that you have to carry on your neck. It doesn't make you less. doesn't make you less. And if that teacher take advantage of you, shame on that teacher. Shame on that teacher. That teacher doesn't have his own yoke. And that's why he does that. But a teacher who carried the yoke of the divine, the yoke of God, the yoke of his teacher, her teacher, whoever it is, then they go with respect. They don't just go ahead and disrespect you. And if they tough on you, it's for you. But if they tough on you for them, shame on them as a teacher. There's many teachers like this out there, unfortunately. And if you end up with a bad teacher, it's part of your journey too. You need to go through that too. I end up with many bad teachers in my life. Terrible teacher. Terrible. They destroy everything about me. But it was the best thing ever happened to me. I need to carry the old yoke, the wrong yoke, until I get the right one. It's all blessing. All blessing. You know, because of the COVID, you know, we all start to work on Sunday too. So on Sunday, I had a meeting with a large company. You know the name, I cannot mention the name. And that company has an issue, concept that they brought to my attention as a consulting. So the issue they have the best worker that they have in this company is a problematic worker. What's the problem? He's doubting the boss. There is the boss who paying him so much money, he's doubting that boss. But the boss is bothered by that so bad. So I came into the meeting and I had to hear what the boss said. And I had to hear the CEO, and then I had to hear what the worker said. In the end, I said, the boss is right that he cannot carry those kind of people in the company. But the boss also needs to learn to work with these kind of people. That is destiny, that is yoke, to get the wrong people in the company until he learns to work with them. Once he learns to work with them, he can let them go. He can say, you fire. But if you don't know how to work with that, that means you not carry the yoke yourself. And that's why you end up with those type of people. So for that reason, the red effort, my dear friend, has to do with transformation of every area of your life into negativity. But without you carrying some type of yoke on your neck, you're not spiritual. You call yourself spiritual because it sounds good. It sells well. You know, every year there is a new name. Used to be, 30 years ago, used to be the word Kabbalah. Then it turned into spirituality. Right now, 1 year ago, what was it? Mindfulness. It was mindfulness, the thing. What's the new words right now? Meditation or light. Every few years, the code change. But that doesn't make you spiritual. Spirituality is when you have somebody that you owe information to, that you owe an answer to. You cannot just walk as a loose cannon and meditate as you wish and do things. Oh, that sounds like good. Like you're doing a favor to the teaching. No. Before a teaching, it has to be some yirah. It has to be some awe. You sit. You wait. So, wow. Wow. I mean, would you be happy if they will sacrifice you as a red heifer? Would you say, wow, finally I come to my final destination of what God wants me to do? Would you carry that no yoke? I mean, there is no physical yoke, but that spiritual yoke of God, of the divine? I don't think so. Hey, you look at the fire, you look at the high priest, you look at the people. So I don't care about it. Leave me alone. You know, you might even create a new protest only for red effort. It will be the red effort protest. Let's walk in the street against people with the red effort being burned for the wrong reason. Right? That's what we're going to do. Because we are very good in being against something. Oh, what are we against today? Are we against this? Are we against that? Are we against this? You know, that's what we do. We are excellent professional against something. And that's what happened right after that in this portion. And again, remember, when you read the Torah, when you listen to those lectures, it is as if you are using the red heifer to clean your body from all problems. Think about it. I mean, it's tremendous, tremendous. Now, another part that happened in this reading, There is something that called the medical stuff, or I think they call it in English caduceus. You know what caduceus is? It's like the snake, the serpent on a staff. You ever saw the staff and a serpent going on it, and it's made of copper. Now it's called caduceus, as far as I know, or maybe I'm not saying it correctly, but medical stuff. Now the medical stuff, most doctors don't even know that the medical stuff came from the time of Moses. What happened? It was a snake that biting all the people that speak bad. Why? Because when you speak bad, you create a disease. Everybody start dying. A plague start happening. What kind of plague start happening to the people? It's called, in the modern language, we call it the airborne disease. Airborne disease coming from Lashon Hara, when you speak. Huh? So it's called Evelape. Hair come out. Airborne disease. So you speak bad. The words has to find a place. It's a negative word. They have to find some place to rest. So who they meeting? They meeting the first creature that spoke bad. What was the first creature? The snake. So the snake appear in a non-physical way and start killing people. Does it remind you something about our time now? Airborne disease. Because people speaking bad. People think, no big deal. I just speak bad. You know, there's a wonderful gentleman, Mr. Alpern, from the city of Bnei Brak in Israel. We worked together, and he came up with a mask, I'm sure you saw me wearing it, that say, Lashon Hara lo medaber elai. Gossiping doesn't approach me. That's what you on the mask. And today, just now, because I'm spreading his mask, I don't have any more. I wish I had more so I can send it to you. So he asked me if I can send Tikkuni Azor to Israel. And so we send him two boxes of Tikkuni Azor so he can share them with a lot of people. So wonderful man. And I'm thinking about that he does it for 5 years already. God bless him. And the idea of what he does is truly to prevent people from disease. Because Lashon Hara, speaking bad about another human being, is the core of all disease. If you ever need to talk bad about someone, make sure that you are at least get out of your house, because you don't want that energy to stay in your house, you know. But if you can prevent it, it will be a smart thing. Moses took a copper snake, and when people look at that copper snake, all of them get cured. The question is, can God? God couldn't do it, then they just cure them, or Moses make a spell and everybody get cured. Why do you need the copper snake? Is to remind the people the reason that they are sick. The reason you are sick, look at the snake and then you get cured. Once you have a self-realization of what's wrong with you, there's two things wrong with you. You're acting like a snake, you're talking bad behind people's back, and what you're doing, you are causing disease. So if you believe that you are like that snake that you're looking at, and the way you say snake in Hebrew is nachash, the way you say kapper, nechoshet, same letter. Nachash, nechoshet, kapper, nechoshet. For that reason, those of you know, there is one of the secret, when you drink from a kapper, you drink water in a kapper cup. Unfortunately, there is only alcohol drink with a kapper cup. I forgot the name right now, but there's a name for it that people are drinking. But if you drink water from a copper, it's actually help the immune system a lot. Nobody know but today. And if you look when the COVID-19 begin, they tell you that the COVID doesn't last on copper for too long. I don't know if you know that. If you look at it, it's that copper has within it a certain antidote for disease. I mean, even today they're finding out. Nobody know why. But if you look at it, it's called nechoshet. Nechoshet like a snake. Snake is nachash. Nachash, nechoshet. So when they hold it, everybody get cured. So again, it's a self-realization and transformation from disease to cure. This all reading we're reading is how basically to transform bad news into good news. I have another one for you. In the end of the reading, there is one of the toughest section that all commentary look at that section and say, we don't know what to do with that. God is talking to Moses and said to him, take the staff in your hand and take your brother with you, Aaron, and go talk to the rock and bring water from the rock so all the people will be able to drink. And of course, I can talk about it for 20 hours, just this section by itself. Those of you close to me know it's one of my favorite commentary in the Bible, in the Torah. And I'm going to ask a few questions that I wrote to myself from one of the greatest Kabbalists of all time, where all Kabbalists call him the Messiah himself. But unfortunately, he didn't make it, because even the Messiah need to have a partner. If a Messiah is born, but the Messiah doesn't have a partner, which means a student, the Messiah cannot be revealed themselves. So the Messiah need always a student or a teacher. If the Messiah is a teacher, he would need a student to reveal them. Without that student, it's worthless. The partner of the Orach Chaim that I took the group this year there as well, on Mount of Olive, the partner was the Baal Shem Tov from Ukraine. They never met each other. If they will meet, it will be no more chaos. So, I'm reading from what he said. So, you ask a question. Why is God telling Moses to take a staff if you don't supposed to use it? Good question. Why God is saying to Moses, the rock will give water and then you get water out of the rock? Why are you repeating it? Then third question that he asked, why you have to say in the end of the verse, from this rock and not from any rock? And Moses, because of that confused commandment, did a mistake. And he hit the rock instead of talking to the rock. But we need to understand how come Moses, who was the highest human being ever will be born, by the way. We will be born, and even before. Even that it was one high person than him, by the name of Rabbi Akiva. But God agreed that even if Rabbi Akiva is higher than him, spiritually, Moses is the leader of all humanity. And he is coming every generation. I'm not going into details, I'm sorry, because of time. So the answer that the Orach Chaim, the holy Kabbalist Orach Chaim, is giving us. The people, as you follow me in the last 2 weeks lecture, when we start Bamidbar, I say as we start this book, the fourth book of Moses, we're going to see a lot of chaos. We're going to see people complaining. People are not happy. It will be issues. Moses knew that to connect to the concept of the rock, and now I'm taking another Kabbalist, and the reason I'm stopping every time and confusing you, because I have to say the name of the Kabbalist who say that. That's the law. So the other Kabbalist called Ohev Israel, love of Israel, that's the name. Moses said to himself, to be able to create a miracle like that, that the rock, without hitting, without meditation, just talking to the rock, a water will come out. It exists not in this illusionary universe. It exists in the end self. It exists in the endless. Yes, it's possible. That place called Keter, those of you who know Kabbalah, Keter, or if you want to call Ein, Ein for the word Ein Sof, Ein Sof, Ein mean nothingness. When you get to nothingness, that you are nothing, you have no more ego, then you can create any miracle you want. Because that miracle you created, you're not going to see it like a big deal because you have no ego. Moses knew that God created his soul and his brother's soul to be from Ein, to be from a place that is nothingness. Nothingness, people, can create any miracle they want. But he look at the people and he say, well, majority are not in that level. Not from a place of judgment. It didn't come from a place of judgment. It came from a place of reality. This is a red blood cell. This is a white blood cell. Just a fact. Not judging, analyzing. And he realized that if he will talk to the rock, and the rock will not bring water, maybe, there is a chance maybe the rock will not bring water, then the name of God will be kind of people will stop believing in the true master and they will not carry the yoke of the divine on their neck anymore. That will be a chance for them to have all the doubts they want. So he said to himself, as now I'm going back to Or HaChaim, he said to himself, they are not at that level. I rather take a chance, hit the rock, talk to the rock, be tough on them as well, just for the sake that the water will come out, so the words of God will be real. That was the only mistake. And right away God tell him, now you and your brother cannot go into Israel. The question is, what's the connection between talking to the rock and hitting the rock? You cannot go to Israel. What is Israel? What is this? We go to Israel, we take El Al and we go to Israel. We take United and we go to Israel. What is it? It depends who you go with. Moses is Ein, is nothingness. And because he's a nothingness, when he goes to Israel, he can connect to the highest level of energy in Israel. And the light that he will bring down will be tremendous. But the question, if the people walk with him to Israel and they are not perfect, they will die on the spot. The energy will kill all of them. There is a danger in it. There is a danger. So, because Moses and Aaron couldn't see the people are capable for that miracle, because what you see, that's what you get. For that reason, they themselves couldn't go to Israel. They had to die in the Jordan border, right? Across the Jordan River. Aaron, Miriam, and Moses, the two brother and sister. They never went to Israel because they were too high. And if they went too high and they see the people not as high as them, not from a judgment point of view, I hope you're not judging them, then when you walk to Israel, those people will never make it. I hope you got this understanding. But God's intention was, even those people are totally in the lowest level, once they see any rock in the desert bring water just by talking, it will be enough for Moses and Aaron to be as holy as God want them to. And because Moses and Aaron are perfect human beings, they already get to that level of Keter, it will be enough for the entire people of Israel to see perform miracle to the rock, and because of that, all of them will be able to enter Israel. That was the idea of the Creator. Tough story. And that was the only sin of Moses, by the way. And that's what makes the Torah special. You know, if you want to know if you're reading a real book, is when they mention that the leader has a problem too. If the leader never did anything wrong, I would not follow a leader. Or as my friend from London said, you know, if in the old days when we sit to drink scotch, and they saw one guy doesn't drink, say, if you don't drink, I don't trust you. And that was kind of a funny for me. I said, what? Say, if you don't drink, I don't trust you. I said, what is that all about? Say, well, among us, the man, we want the man. That's what they teach me. If you are too perfect, something is wrong about you. We want you to be a little off so we can relate to you. It's a funny thing. So what's beautiful about the Torah, that the Torah is telling you where exactly Moses made a mistake. Did Moses knew he's doing a mistake? The answer is absolutely yes. But he had to take the risk because he was worried about the people that follow him. And when he started being tough on them, those of you who read this week reading, he was tough on them. And when he was tough on them, being tough on his student, being tough on his people, the purpose of that was not for the reason of being tough on his student. The purpose of being tough on his student was that they will go to the level called Ein. Ein mean nothingness. And when you get into nothingness and you become nothing, at that moment you become humble. And when you become humble, then of course miracle can happen. Miracle cannot happen when you're no longer humble. It's impossible because you don't worry that yoke, that we talked about before from the red heifer. If you're not willing to wear any yoke on your neck, and specifically the divine, specifically the Torah, specifically all those things that we need to wear, because being spiritual is nice. Everybody say home and meditation and going to the mountain and smelling the tree and doing some yoga, but that's not spirituality. This is the benefit of spirituality. Spirituality is when you have somebody or something above you that you know you're not number one. People ask me, why am I wearing my yarmulke? I said, because I lost my hair. You know, I always like to tease people. So that's not the reason. Now I wear the yarmulke to remind me there's always somebody above me. Very simple. Always somebody above me. To remind myself that I'm not running this universe. Doesn't matter how much I know. There is, okay, to remind myself. You know, if you ask the Pope why is he wearing the yarmulke, same reason. Okay? Same reason. So you need to understand those are the things. So going back to that concept of hitting the rock and how it's all come together with the red heifer, the rock, the death of Miriam, the Kedushas, what they call Kedushas or what they call the medical staff, you know, all of that things is teaching us that everything in your life, every things in your life which is negative can turn into positive. Everything. When you connect to the source of the energy in everything. Now you tell me. Many people, you know, ask me, is this time is good or bad? Depends. For some people it's the best time. For some people it's the worst time. I cannot tell you what is it for you. But I will tell you what. If you would know that God is still involved in 2020. Because some people think that God went to vacation to Cancun and he couldn't get a flight back. And that's what happened. He's stuck in Cancun. But other places in the world, he couldn't make the flight. So that's why. What do you think? That's part of the plan of creation. When the divine created Adam and Eve, it was not part of the plan, this situation we're going through. Of course it is. So what's the blessing in it for you? But you're never going to see the blessing if you're not wearing the yoke. You got to wear the yoke on your shoulders. You got to wear the yoke on your neck to know that. What is the yoke look like? It's a yoke. It's something that you cannot understand. What is your master want from you? And why is the master do what he does? You know, I don't know how many of you have cats or dog or birds. A lot of time, the birds, the cat, the dog misbehave, which is bad for themselves, not just for the owner. So what do? You educate, you guide the dog, the cat, the birds, whatever it is, not to do something like that. You want to make sure that the dog stays alive longer. But the dog trusts you, the birds trust you, the cat trusts you. As a human being, you have to choose one person. Don't use 100. Because if you use 100, that's when you are the leader. You cannot choose under teacher. You can't. It's going to confuse you. If you carry 1,000 yoke on your neck, it will tear you apart. It's very dangerous, my friend. For that reason, the red heifer portion, together with the rock that Moses is hitting, to show us how a leader should behave. Moses was carrying the yoke of God on his shoulders. That's it. Nothing more important than that. When he guided the people, his mission will be that those people will be connected to the divine. That's it. That's a true leader, my friend. If a leader wants you to connect to the leader, it's no longer a leader. It's a dictator. A leader wants you to connect to things which are good for you, not good for them. If you're a father and mother, you don't want your kids to believe you are the best in everything. I cannot advise my kids about college. I'm not that smart in that level. I can only tell them common sense of what I think. They will have to find another leader who can guide them in that area. I cannot tell them about dentists. I cannot tell them about doctor. I cannot tell them about nutrition. I cannot. I can guide them when it's come to kind of a self-help or spirituality or connect to the divine. And even in that area, I always will tell them, please go ahead and find an in the book like I did. And find a teacher. My son has a teacher, my other son has a teacher, my daughter has a teacher, My wife have a teacher. It doesn't mean I'm their teacher. But when they ask, you say, Eliyahu, you know, Father, we heard that. And I said what I think based on my teaching is. So you got to get yourself to carry something on your neck. It cannot be just you carry, you know, some people in the old days, we used to go to the gym and you see there is a section there, the forbidden section, at least for me, that you're not allowed to get closer. Everybody has the muscle the size of my head. I don't know how it came. It was last night, it wasn't there. The night after, it's there. And they're lifting some weight and they have some drink. I guess it's a protein drink. And they have a box with some chicken breast. And they bite the chicken breast, have a protein shake, and lift another 30 pounds. And I'm coming there, I'm the one on the left that carry the 5 pound or the 10 pound, you know, with the little thing. So it's embarrassing a little bit to stand there and say, what am I doing with those people here? They are giant, and I'm like this little me with, I mean, I look big, but I'm not, don't have those muscles. So what am I trying to tell you is the yoke you need to carry is in your mind. Are you accepting that the divine love you? Unconditional, and the divine want the best thing for you. That's the question. Is the divine truly love you according to you, and the divine truly want the best thing for you? That's a real question here. If it is, then when you read the Torah, when you listen to those lectures already purify all the negativity you ever did. It's a tremendous secret, my friend. Tremendous. But if you come to it, to say, what have you done for me today? Or what is the new story today? Then doesn't matter how many hours you spend on Vital. Doesn't matter how many hours you spend listening to Eliyahu. It's not going to help. Because it's before everything. It's called Yirah, an awe. And if you have an awe to something, to a place, to someone, it's a beginning of receiving. You can't receive from somebody you can't respect. You can't test a person all your life. You can test them in the beginning. It's like marriage. You can't test your wife, you know, for the, all the marriage. You can't test your husband, all the marriage. In the beginning, we have doubts, so we test each other. But after we get married, that's it. Enough already with the test. What are we doing? A test every day? If they're good or bad, then you don't enjoy the marriage. You don't enjoy the partnership. You enjoy if they pass the test or they don't. What's wrong with you? Not what's wrong with them. And this is really the secret of success for all of us. You want to get this red heifer, not on a physical level when we're burning the cow or waiting for the Messiah to come with the red heifer. No. From a point that I'm capable, finally, to carry that decision I made that I want to listen to you. It's like my son sometimes asks me some question and I always tell him, listen, I can't give you advice on that. I can guide you to an answer. I cannot give you an answer because I don't know the answer. And thank God I'm very blessed that my son keep coming to me, even at their age, and said to me, please guide me, and even if you don't know the answer. And that's really what it's all about, guys. If I don't know the answer, I will guide the person. And those of you who work close with me, whatever that you do, coaching with me, or whatever you call me for spiritual question, and please do, I want you to call me, and I want to open a direct line when I have the time, just schedule it with Debbie, and call me if you have spiritual question, if you have something like that, and if you need 5 minutes of my time, 10 minutes of my time, I'm willing to give it for free to you to make sure that I'm guiding you. 5 minutes, 10 minutes is, everybody has 10 minutes, I have 10 minutes too. Once I'm busy, I'm busy. But if I can give you that time, why not to guide? Why not to help? That's the reason we do Vital for free. That's why we did all the service for free. But right now we cannot do the service as before, but we do it in the street. We're opening a table in the street, we put the Torah there, and we read for our neighborhood, you know? So we want to give as much as we can afford. You know, and that's what we are all about. To give you the chance to become spiritual and to connect to the divine. Do the divine. If you connect only to me, that's mean no, you didn't do mistake. I did the mistake. Because if you connect only to the teacher, something's wrong with the teacher. I didn't do a good job. Because the true teacher connected to the divine. That's how I know I did a good job. So when I see students start to connect to the divine, I'm so happy because, wow, it's achievement for me, not just for you as a student.